Welcome, in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We are gathered today to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother in Christ, Robert, to give thanks for his life, to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I invite you to stand and join in singing a song of peace. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust of the earth, who by your breath gave us life, we glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to give the way to eternal life, we praise you. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure and confidence and everlasting hope, we pray worship you. To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother in Christ, Robert. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to be seated. At this time, a few family members will come forward to share some remembrances.
I'm starting. I'm Cheryl. I'm the one who lives in Ohio. And a few years ago, I started doing interviews with my dad where I would just ask random questions and he would start talking. And I guess you all know he was pretty good at that part. And I would just type whatever he said. Well, one of the questions one day was, what is the one thing in your life you are the most proud of? And he said the work that his master's thesis involved. Now, his master's thesis was addressing an issue of poverty and the legal or the laws that discriminated against the most poor. So it wasn't just the writing of the thesis, but the lobbying and the changing of those laws. So he was very proud of that. But I, of course, said, Dad, the correct answer to that question is your children. Well, about a year later, in another context, I was there when someone asked him, what is the thing you are most proud of? And he looked at me and he said, my children? And then he went on to discuss his master's thesis.
Hi, I'm Beth. I live in Ames, and I'm the politician, so I wrote it down to make sure I don't say it wrong. So, at 89, my dad was still trying to change the world. Just this year, he had discovered Facebook and social media. And he was very discouraged by the Supreme Court's decision on voting rights. So, every time I would come over, and I mean every time, he would say, Beth, we need to get the Supreme Court impeached, and we can do this on social media. So I want you to help me with this. He didn't get the Supreme Court impeached, but he did reconnect with friends and former students on Facebook, and he made a new friend from Denmark, and he was thrilled to have all those, interaction with people. He loved kids, and that's something that he passed on to me. I've always been very fond of babies and kids. And as we were looking through pictures, I found pictures of him with my kids sitting in the sandbox that he had built for them and playing in the sand, taking them fishing, building a snowman, and of course celebrating every single birthday. When we were young, he laid a half basketball court at the end of our property. In the summer, we shot hoops, played foursquare and hopscotch, and just hung out with all the neighbors. In the winter, he shoveled that court and sprayed it with water so that we could ice skate. Dad and Mom bought a box of ice skates at a rummage sale so everyone in the neighborhood could join us. And I want to give you the memories that my daughter wrote on Facebook about my dad. She wrote, "To the grandpa who let me dig my nails into his arm during the scary dinosaur part of Fantasia, told me I could only have two chocolate kisses after school, but always let me take three, and spent a brisk December weekend spray painting 8-foot wooden boards in the garage with me in the 7th grade, when I spontaneously decided to construct the most epic nativity set Lutherans had ever seen." In parentheses, it was epic, by the way. "I love you more than a million chocolate kisses. Rest in peace, Grandpa."
I'm Ellen Russell Schuler, and I live in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I was his orange-haired kid, and sometimes I wondered if he actually remembered my name, but I know he did. He was very proud of my name. My dad was always eager to help out with any projects we had, and one day he found me in the garage with some friends. We were working on a rather large project, and he came out and he said, What are you doing? I said, "Well, they locked the girls' restroom by my homeroom at school, so we are building an outhouse for the courtyard." And he said, "Well, you're missing something." And I said, what? Looks pretty good to me. He said, "I got just the thing for that." He went and got a board and cut a circle and made a seat for our outhouse. And then he helped me take it to school. So he surprised me constantly growing up, and I will miss him forever.
Hi, I'm Joanne. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, Mom and Dad decided Cheryl and I should have our own rooms. So Dad moved me into his study, and so I shared his study with him. But I fell asleep every night looking at his wall of books and his record album collection. And one day at dinner, we were sitting at the table, and we often listened to National Public Radio, and we would listen to classical music, and there was a song playing, and at the time, Ellen was learning about classical music, learning to name the music, and he asked her what was playing, and I blurted out, "Pines of Rome," and he just looked bewildered, and I was right, and I had no idea, really, but I had fallen asleep every night with that album cover facing me. So I read it every night when I went to sleep, and I don't know why I blurted that out at that moment, but I got lucky, as I got lucky having such a wonderful father.
Good morning. My name is Tom, and Robert was my big brother. Of all my brothers, all of whom have passed away now, Bob and I think, were the closest. When I was about 14, he and Edith took me into their home so I could go to school here in Ames, rather than what passed for high schools in small-town rural Iowa in those days. Some years later, when I was simply passing through town on my way to Los Angeles, he convinced me to stay here and go to Iowa State University rather than go back to Los Angeles and wait for several months before I could get into UCLA, which had been my original plan. Certainly, it was one of the best decisions I ever made, was to stay here, not only because family was here and it was a terrific university, but this is where I met my wife, who unfortunately could not be here today. Bob loved music. He taught me music. Not instrumentalism, he couldn't play a note. And his voice was truly atrocious. But he understood that when you were hearing the music of the great composers, you were listening to echoes of the voice of God. I've never forgotten him telling me that. He liked to argue. Actually, that's not true. He loved to argue. I think he got a serious enjoyment out of simply the clash of words that he never gave up. Just this morning, I saw a truck go by where the motel I'm staying with, two large round bales of hay. And it reminded me of so many years ago of our serious, profound argument over the benefits of square or round bales. I still think the round ones are the best. In our last conversation this past May, he asked me if I would go back to Montana and organize a group to persuade Congress to impeach the members of the Supreme Court, or at least five of them. I didn't do it. But I think now, when I return home, I will organize a Robert Irving Wessel Forum for the pursuit of quixotic adventurism. Thank you.
Sometime in the early 60s, around 63 or 64, we were living in Minneapolis across the street from a little tiny lake about the size of Lake Laverne. Down the street was another one about that size. And we'd lived in Ames previously, so these were our experiences with water. And we drove to Canada that year and went to my Aunt Irene's father-in-law's place up there. There was a narrow driveway down a steep hill. And when you come out of there, it's surrounded in woods, and you come to the end and you look over a bluff, and there is a lake that is 69,000 acres. We were awestruck. And we went year after year after that, spent time on that lake. And then we didn't go for a long time. And in 1996, I hadn't seen my cousin Kim for many years, and she said, "You've got to come to Canada." And I said, "Yeah, it'd be great. I miss the place. It was just so amazing." In 1997, I ran into her again, and she said, "You really have to come to Canada. The place is falling down." So we went to Canada, and we jacked it up and made it secure. And ever since, with the exception of a year or two, Dad and Terry and I went to Canada and spent a couple weeks together. And in 2004, we bought some land. In 2005, we built a house. And it was the place that he loved to be. Described himself as a fatalist, he was not going to let certain risk stop him from doing what he wanted to do. One time we were, and for you to understand, a lake with 69,000 acres can have waves that are 4 or 5 feet tall. And one time we were out on that lake and a storm came up and we had to land on an island to protect ourselves from a pretty dangerous storm. We made it home. But it was really wonderful to be able to spend those times with him, away from everything else, reading books, talking. I didn't get to get there this summer, but he did. And he's obviously made a lot of friends here, but if you go on a webpage, you can see comments from the people in Canada who learned to love him as much as those here in Ames did.
Oh, now it's on. Fantastic, wonderful, amazing. Okay, here we go.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice, I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am strength for all the despairing. Healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am the world that leads all to freedom. I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, walk and live. And do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
From Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And from Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Jesus was a teacher who didn't just sit behind a desk. He taught with his life. Remind you of anyone? Jesus was a teacher who continually reminded his disciples of what it means to pull your weight for the sake of the gospel. He was clear that it is not about showing off, but about sharing gifts, using our gifts to serve others. Bob knew about humbly sharing his gifts with others. As a civil rights, human rights advocate, he lived out his strong beliefs and convictions. He believed and lived a dynamic Christianity. In the early 1950s, just after marrying Edith, Bob wrote in a paper, "Dynamic Christianity demands more than the cathedral and the easy chair." He took seriously God's command to do justice and love kindness. He knew that Jesus is present in each person who is in need, and that our calling as Christians is to see the needs and do our best to meet them. Jesus, the teacher, encouraged his disciples like a good teacher does, calling them by name and teaching them by example to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Jesus challenged the religious people to see God in their neighbor in need. Bob pushed the church to take seriously our calling to serve Jesus in our neighbor. He believed in the fight for justice and healing for those whose voices often go unheard and whose struggles too often get brushed under the table by those in power. In Christian community, we are people of God, called to dare to be persistent in gathering over and over again, gathering to claim God's call to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. We gather to claim our calling as God's people, made in the image of God the Advocate. God the Advocate, who in the form of Jesus Christ said only those who give their lives away will find them. God the Advocate, who came in the form of Jesus Christ to give everyone a place at the table. We are people of God, who, when the night is dark and the road is long, turn to God and one another for help, and in so doing, find healing. For in Christian community, we are continually named and claimed by God. Disciples, students, continually learning more about God's love for us. Today we give thanks for all of the ways Bob shared God's love with us. May the love that he gave live forever. Amen. Now I invite you to join in singing Bob's favorite hymn, number 607 in your red hymnal. Your red hymnal can be found in your pew. I invite you to stand as we sing. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and life. God of mercy, Help us, O God, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us commend Robert to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Robert. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Following the service today, I invite you for a meal in the fellowship hall just down this hallway. Let us go forth in peace. Amen. I invite you to join in singing the closing hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, number 705 in your hymnal.
Blessed nation, to thee we deplore.
sweet.